Willful ignorance destroys men. People are responsible for the light that they have. When someone turns his back upon the truth, something within him crashes. And in Scripture, we find a strong emphasis on the danger of lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Prophetic message that is grim. God are obligated to cherish the knowledge of God. People must submit to God's revelation. Without it, they are destroyed. In verse 1 of that chapter, the prophet Hosea says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Now, this is a most solemn charge to bring against people who were supposed to be the custodians of the knowledge of God, the proclaimers of the knowledge that they had received from the Almighty. In verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The lack of knowledge in this case is guilt. They were responsible for that knowledge. It had been entrusted to them. They should have shared it with others. They should have told others about the good news that they had. They didn't have all the light that we have, but they had the true revelation of God, a message that was powerful enough to transform men, as people from David to Isaiah portray. But they had not been faithful to the knowledge that they had. There was lack of knowledge. It was guilty lack. They were destroying themselves. Now, friends, that's a very solemn thought. When we do not take the much greater knowledge we have, the information that the old prophets would have loved to know, if we do not take that and cherish that and digest and absorb what is involved in this new revelation that we have in Christ, then we are responsible. We are turning away from a revelation that is positively life-transforming, and we're dooming ourselves to a second-rate salvation. Now, friends, this is a serious thing. When he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," that's a terrible thought. To destroy yourself with ignorance, to destroy yourself with the failure to search the Scriptures and find out the true knowledge that God has revealed in His Word. That's not just a lack. It's not just something that we have forgotten to do. It's a moral choice. When you read the newspaper and you haven't read God's Word yet, you're telling yourself that there are worldly things more important than God's holy Word. If you read other books more than you do the Scriptures, you're telling yourself there are other things in life more important than God's Word. You say, well, my job depends on the knowledge I have. Oh, great. Study hard. Your life depends upon this book. That's not a matter of learning something to make money. That's a matter of learning something forever. And you're responsible. Lack of knowledge destroys people. If it's knowledge of God's holy word, You're destroying yourself by not learning it. These people rejected the knowledge of God. And what happened? They took up idols. There were idols in the land. And the prophets are crying out against this idolatry. But the Word of God in the Old Testament told them that idols were wrong. They were false. There was no God there. It was an image. The true God was something else. But they didn't bother to listen to the prophets. They worshipped false gods. We've got countless people in America that call themselves Christians. The most important thing in their life is money, possessions, pleasure, something else other than God. In the eyes of God, they're idolaters. Now, they'd be offended if you told them that. But God is going to be the one that tells them that. And that's a hair-raising thought. We should instead cherish this revelation of God's holy word. Digest and absorb what is involved and treat it with a kind of loving attention that we see in Psalm 119. In verse 66, the psalmist says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." He prayed for God to teach him. He had a teachable heart. He wanted to know. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Boy, that's a prayer we can afford to echo. We need good judgment, spiritual knowledge of God's holy word. In verse 64, he prays, "Teach me thy statutes." But look at verse 68. "Teach me thy statutes." Look at verse 124. "Teach me thy statutes." Look at verse 135. "Teach me thy statutes." It's like a broken record. What's he doing? We can see a burden on his heart. He's longing for God to teach him his holy word, to help him understand what is there, to help him grow through what he sees there, to help him respond in service and worship of the one true God. It was plainly burning in his bones like a fire. Do we really have that interest in God's word? Is that really something that is on fire inside? We just hunger for Scripture. We can't wait to get back and learn more of this holy book. Or is it a matter of, well, we read a certain number of verses this day, and we'll do it again tomorrow, and another time? Well, yes. But there's a different attitude. The psalmist was on fire for God's word. There was a thirst within him. Friends, if you're thirsty, everything else fails into insignificance. You've got to have water. Some of you have been in desert conditions and you know that feeling. That's gripping. It consumes your attention. If you're thirsty for God's word, if that's something inside of you, just burning within, you'll find yourself opening the pages and devouring it and going through and taking in whole chapters and digesting and absorbing what is there. Why? Because you're thirsty for the word of the living God. It's not just another book that you've got to open up and turn pages. Anybody can do that. They can go to sleep doing it. But if there's that thirst within, that internal desire for what is in Scripture, this rivets the attention on Scripture. This causes us to digest what is there, to get benefit out of what is there, to transfer the words into internal prayer to God, internal action in His service, It's a life-transforming experience. This is what we need. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 34, Paul says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Some have not the knowledge of God. He's writing to a Christian congregation, a church. He says, some have not the knowledge of God. And it's a shame. Well, I'm sure if you had polled that congregation, they would all have said, "Why, yes, I know God exists. Yes, I'm a worshiper of God." What does Paul mean here? He means there are people in that church that have not put God first. God's word is not that important to them. They're what's called today nominal Christians. What's a nominal Christian? It's somebody who bears the name. He's a Christian. Somebody takes a poll, he checks off, "I'm a Christian." What does that mean? It all depends on the person's heart. Does it really mean that he is a believer in Christ, who treasures his word, who digests and absorbs what is here, does his best to live what he reads? Or does it just mean he's not a Buddhist? He's not a Mohammedan. He calls himself a Christian. What good is that? Really, no good. If the religion is not in the heart, if it doesn't change the life, if it doesn't transform the thinking processes, well, flip a coin. There's a lot of religions in the world. One is just as bad as the other. There are a great many, quote, Christians who would check that item anytime, who have no idea who God is. Never open the scriptures. Never have a hunger for what this book says. A consuming fire within that burns to learn more, to conform the life to a greater degree to what is in this book. Now we're talking about a born-again Christian who's got life inside. He's got a spiritual life that must be fed. Here's the food. He wouldn't think of missing this book. There are a lot of Christians who don't have any hunger. If they miss reading the Bible, it never occurs to them to be worried. Friends, Paul is talking about a very serious subject here. He's talking about real Christians who are alive by the power of God, and they need food to stay alive. Lack of knowledge of God's holy word is dangerous. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus shall return, taking vengeance on them that know not God. God knows the difference between a, quote, nominal Christian and one who's a real one. When he comes back, his vengeance is upon all those who don't know him, who have no hunger for God's word, who don't care what it says. There are a lot of nominal Christians that think they're all right. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." True believers see the glory of God shining from the biblical portrait of Jesus Christ. When they read the Gospels, they're not just turning pages. They're seeing the Savior. They're seeing in the actions and the words of that person, Jesus Christ, they're seeing the actions of God. He is the Son of God, the representative of His Father. And what He does portrays the love of God for man. It's a beautiful and wonderful portrait. For someone who doesn't know Him as Savior, it's just a book. And they turn pages just as they would going through an old history book. Interesting, but it doesn't affect them. But this book does affect you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then reading that record of His holy life, His sacrificial death, His mighty resurrection, this is the difference between life and death. You've now passed from that, if you are a Christian. And now, the Scripture is the bread of life. Now it is the means by which you can grow and become useful to the Lord Jesus. You can become stronger in your testimony. You can become a help to other people because you're alive with the knowledge of Christ. And this book is a mighty, powerful book, the sword of the Spirit, and you understand it. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." He's talking about reading the Bible. He's talking about looking at this holy book. It's like you're looking into a mirror, a glass, and you're seeing your own reflection in the Scripture. When it speaks about the sinful heart, the believer can say, "Yes, that's me. I need forgiveness. I need to be changed." And as you read, you see that the Lord Jesus is the means of change, that He is mighty to save. And as you keep reading, your features become changed into the image of the Lord Jesus because He imparts His life to you. Why do we read the Bible? Not so we can say, "I read so many pages. I read the whole Bible through in a year." That's not why we read it. We read it because it's a picture of Him. And as we read this holy book, He molds, shapes us, makes us like Himself. He's molding us into His image. And as we look into the Scriptures, we're becoming more and more like Him spiritually. Now that makes Bible study an extremely important priority. Much more important than football games, if I may be blunt. And I'm not against watching football games. But I trust you are aware that tonight, the vast majority of Americans are going to be glued to a TV set watching a football game. There will be very few of them who take time out during the intermission to read the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying watching football games is wrong. I do it myself. But I have a very keen consciousness of what's involved in time. If you have time to sit down and watch a football game, you're talking about hours. How many hours have you spent in the Scriptures today? Well, I've been to church. Good, I've been there too. We rationalize away some things, but we don't have the perception of the order of priorities that we need. And I'm not encouraging everybody to become a monk and go to a cave somewhere, do nothing but read the Bible. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the inner spiritual perception that this holy book is food. It's something that gives you internal strength and life. And without it, you're shriveling away. You're getting weaker every day. When you understand that, then that means you keep coming back to the book just all the time. Why? Because it's food. You need it. You wouldn't think of missing a meal. Boy, When it's laid out, you come. Well, here it is. It's laid out for you. You can open any page. There's food there for the soul. We need to come back just that same way. It's a habit. Every day we eat. Every day we keep coming back. We need it to live. And that's not just metaphorically speaking. Your Christian life depends on a good diet. God's holy word. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Yes. Paul knew what he was talking about. He had been a rabbi, proud of his good deeds, his works. He could match the best of them. But he found out that it didn't count. Christ alone was his righteousness. And now, everything else was loss. So much refuse wasn't important. Christ was important. Christ was everything. My friends, that's a spiritual attitude. It's very important for believers to have the right attitude. Too often we get twisted by the world we live in. They have a bad attitude. They're oriented towards things, toward pleasures, towards all kinds of things that draw people away from God. We can very easily be influenced in the wrong direction. But this book keeps us in the right direction. As we read, we discover God is central. He is everything. Christ is the whole of salvation. Without him, we are doomed. That's the most important thing in life. And we understand these things spiritually. But sometimes we forget. We find ourselves consumed by worldly things rather than godly things. And we must sharpen our gaze for spiritual things. We're in this life not just to have a good time, and I'm not against having a good time, but we're in this life to please Christ. We're here to serve him. We're intending on going to another realm where that is all we'll be doing, serving Christ. Is that a dreadful thought for today or this life? No, that's what we're here for, to serve Christ. That's really our main business. And all the rest, making a living, eating, drinking, keeping ourselves alive. Oh, yes, even relaxing and having fun. All of that is fine. The chief priority in life must be honoring the Lord Jesus, drawing from his holy word the strength, the grace, the energy, spiritually speaking, that we need for our service in this life. Lack of knowledge destroys. Lack of knowledge of God's holy word, lack of knowledge of his purpose for us, lack of knowledge of his plan for our lives. Yes, those are destructive things. We must learn what Scripture says. We must digest and absorb what is in this holy book. We must see his pathway for our life. We must walk it with a clear perception that we are obeying him and pleasing him as we live day by day. 2 Timothy 3:7, some are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a sad thought. The knowledge of the truth entirely escapes them. And in verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The power has never changed them inside. And in verse 13, evil men shall wax worse and worse. That's all that's before them. Deterioration, going downhill, because Christ is not honored. Christ is not there. And they're on the toboggan slide down. Friends, we must remind ourselves continually. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is of supreme importance in our lives. The knowledge of His holy word is absolutely essential. The action day by day of reading His word, meditating upon what is there, digesting and absorbing the truth of what is in this blessed book, this is of absolute importance for the believer. The world knows nothing about that at all. They can't understand why we value this book, because there's no life within them. But if you're born again, if you have new life within you, then you understand this book is food. This book is what you need, spiritually speaking, to grow strong, to become able to serve Christ, to be a good testimony for Him. This book is absolutely essential. Yes, we need to hunger for the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter says in verse 5, "Besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, agape. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's why we study this scripture. That's why we read this holy book and meditate on it and cherish the teachings of this book, because it's transforming us. Line upon line, precept upon precept, it is building character. It is building the knowledge of Christ within us. It is conforming us to the image of that holy Son of God. And so the time will come when we'll be ushered into that everlasting kingdom. That's a long time, friends. And we need to be ready. Lack of knowledge destroyed the Israelites. Let's not let lack of knowledge ruin our testimony and poison our relationship with the Lord. We must seek His face. We must devour His word. We must fill our souls with His holy book. We want that abundant entrance into the kingdom that we long for. But it comes through the holy book. A simple thing of reading God's holy word and letting it transform us into something better than what we are now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, in your heart, will you tell the Lord that you really do love Him? And you want His word. And by His grace, you are going to study it every day, just as you would eat meals. You're going to digest and absorb His Word. You're going to let it rule in your heart and life. O Lord, forgive us that we fail to appreciate Thy Holy Word. We fail to study it with the right interest, the hunger of spiritual perception. Forgive us. Help us, O Lord, every day to search the Scriptures, to fill our minds and hearts with this holy book, and by that be drawn closer to Thee. Help us, Lord, to have that closer walk with Jesus through Thy holy word. For we pray in His name. Amen.